Hello, 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 and welcome to the Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about something which I've been researching for a very long time, and that is borderline personality disorder in women. This is a serious personality disorder, and if you get involved with women like this, then you can potentially get into very, very serious trouble indeed. They will break your heart, they will rip you apart, they will make you wonder who you are. No one will ever have made you feel so amazing and taken you to such heights of heaven, but also to such depths of hell. And specifically, I want to look at the signs that a woman has borderline personality disorder that you will see right at the beginning, that you will see on the first and second date, the warning signs, such that you never need to go any further with them. Before I do that, could you do me a favour? Could you please, please, please subscribe? Could you subscribe on YouTube and leave a like and leave a comment and hit the bell button and all that kind of thing? And could you subscribe on my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most based stuff that I don't put on YouTube, where I put in-person interviews, vlogs, blogs, films I make, and where if you like what I do, you could support me for the cost of a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. So first of all, what is borderline personality disorder? I have done a number of videos on this before, but borderline personality disorder is a cluster B personality disorder. So it goes along with things like narcissism, Machiavellianism, and is associated with things like depression and anxiety. And there are 9 key symptoms. The first is highly unstable moods, so swinging between extremes of emotion. Fear, essentially, of abandonment. They are motivated by fear of abandonment and they hate being alone. They are highly impulsive, and this would include things like sexual risk-taking, binge shopping, binge drinking, taking drugs. Identity disturbance, so because they are so high in negative feelings, in neuroticism, they basically feel really bad about themselves, and feel that they're awful and worthless, they constantly wonder who they are. So you can only assert a clear sense of identity if you have a clear sense of, yes, I'm a good person and I'm doing this. So if something bad happens to you, you might say to yourself, well, okay, this bad thing has happened to me, but I'm still me. If you really hate yourself and have self-esteem, and then you might think this bad thing has happened because I'm a bad person, so I must fundamentally change everything about myself. So they'll swing between different identities. A constant sense of emptiness, of feeling that things are just worth absolutely nothing. Intense relationships in which, to deal with their negative feelings, they will strongly idealize a partner as their savior and wonderful, but he will let them down, and then they will de-idealize them in a very black and white way as a person that they hate and despise. Intense anger, which they can't control. Self-harm and threats of self-harm. This can be literal, such as, you know, just cutting yourself or burning yourself or bruising yourself, or it can be other kinds of self-harm, like self-sabotage or that sort of thing. And finally, dissociation under stress. This is known as borderline schizophrenia or borderline psychosis. So under extreme stress, they will enter a paranoid state in which everybody hates them, wants to destroy them, and this will make other people get away from them and leave them alone. It's basically psychopathic. So that is borderline personality disorder. And if you are diagnosed with over half of the traits that I've listed here, then that is BPD. There are many other videos that go into a lot more depth on BPD. I want to look at the superficial signs. If you meet a woman, if you go on a date with a woman, what should you be looking for that indicates this is actually a borderline? The first thing will be that it's just too good to be true. It will seem like the most amazing thing. You will have everything in common. Everything you can possibly imagine in common. This person will seem like your soulmate. This person will seem like you've been waiting for her all your life. This person will be incredibly flirtatious, incredibly seductive. This person will absolutely love you and be open for anything, and very quickly you'll be kissing. It will be just absolutely too good to be true. Now, part of that is because what she is doing is, in order to bond herself strongly with you, is she is love bombing you. It's almost like a religious cult. She is love bombing you, and this connects you to her. Remember, what she wants, she fears abandonment, and she wants someone, therefore, to sort of look after her and be her savior and guide her through life, and she wants almost to have an identity through that person. She has a weak identity, and so therefore she wants to make an identity that is, I am with this person, this special high status person who is amazing, and therefore I am special and amazing, and therefore my feelings that I'm worthless and I'm no good and I'm broken are dealt with because I'm with this person. So she's idealizing you. She's telling you you're wonderful. She's telling you you're brilliant. She's love bombing you. She's mirroring your interests. So whatever you will say, oh, I'm really interested in Iron Maiden. Oh, I love Iron Maiden. It's amazing, Iron Maiden. It's my favourite band as well. Whatever you say, she will agree with you. And this turbocharges the bond. It attaches you to her. So that's the first thing. It's quick, it's sudden, it's just too good to be true. She's practically telling you she's in love with you on the first date and she thinks you're brilliant. That's the first thing. Look at the kind of phrases that she might use. She might start saying things like, well, you complete me. You complete me. Well, what does that mean? That implies an unstable sense of self. That implies that she doesn't feel complete in the first place. She should already feel complete. She's got no business not feeling complete. So if she doesn't feel complete, then this implies a damaged sense of self, that she doesn't know who she is or what she is. This implies borderline personality disorder. The second thing you will notice is probably quite a strong sense of identity, perhaps a strong countercultural sense of identity. She is a very obvious punk. She is a very obvious traditional girl. She is a very obvious something. Because if you don't know who you are, if you're unclear on who you are and what you are, then what you will often do is deal with it by adopting a very, very strong and clear and black and white sense of identity. And that is a way of papering over the cracks. That is a way of dealing with the fact that actually you're full of constant self-doubt about who you are and what you are and why you do what you do. Normal people that are low in neuroticism, they have a sense of this is me, I am happy that this is me, this is who I am. If you are high in neuroticism, you're constantly doubting yourself. You're constantly doubting what you do and why you do it. It's all this anxiety. So the moment you get an identity in that, you think, oh, well, should I do this? Is this the right thing to do? Will people like me if I do this? Will people reject me if I do this? Oh, perhaps I should do something else. And then something will set you off and then you'll radically change identity. But when you have an identity, you have to have a very strong and pronounced one. The next thing you will notice is, do they talk about having changed identity? Do they say, well, I used to be very left-wing and I used to vote Labour, but now I'm very right-wing and I vote Reform, or I vote Restore Britain and I'm very conservative? Right, well, that's a serious problem, because mentally stable people do not move from extreme to extreme. That's what mentally unstable people do. And that's why, and that implies a weak identity. That implies identity disturbance, that you move from one extreme to another extreme. So if they've done that, if they used to be left wing and now they're right wing, that's a problem. That's a very, very bad sign indeed. The next thing which relates to identity is simply tattoos. Now, I'm not saying that if you have a tattoo, you're a mental. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is, and there's studies that indicate this, if you have lots of tattoos of all kinds of different things, what this implies is an attempt to have a sense of control. So if you see the world as a dangerous and unstable place, then at least you can control something and you can control your body. That's the first thing. But secondly, it's marking yourself with a sense of identity. Now, why do you need to mark your body with a sense of identity, with a clear sense of who you are? Well, the obvious answer is that you have an unstable identity, so you need to take control of it, and you do that by marking it on your skin. So I would suggest that has she got a large number of tattoos, then again, that's a problem. Another issue is, does she talk about being attracted to older men? Has she ever had a relationship in which, you know, the age difference is more than sort of 4 years or 5 years? This would be, again, a serious red flag, because these women they fear abandonment. They look for a savior. They look for someone that can be their savior in life, or their special idealized person. And females tend to sexually select for status, because if a man has status, then he can look after them and he can look after their children better and that kind of thing. And so obviously, if they're deeply insecure and unhappy, then they will desperately, really, really want status. Will be really, really important for them. Really, really important indeed. They desperately want a rescuer, and a rescuer equals status. And in evolutionary terms, on average, men that are older will tend to have higher status, which is why women are sexually attracted to men that are slightly older than them. This will be taken to an extreme in unstable borderlines, in insecure people. They will be attracted to very, very, very much older men indeed. And so has she ever had a boyfriend that is much older than her? And does she talk about being attracted to much older men? Again, that's a serious danger sign. The next issue is just self-harm, obviously. They're mentally unstable. They have feelings that they hate themselves and loathe themselves. They want to take, they feel the world is destroying them and trying to hurt them, and so they want to take control of this. How do they take control of the situation? Well, they harm themselves. Then at least they're in control of the negative feelings. They are giving themselves negative feelings, i.e. pain, and they're in control of it, and it's just something they can control. And so they will tend to self-harm, or they will tend to, that's the first thing that does, it gives them control. The second thing it does is a kind of social signalling. It signals, I am a fragile person, please help me, please look after me. And this will bring out the sort of knight in armour sense. So, in certain men. So, does she self-harm? Is there any evidence of cutting, any at all? Is there any evidence of bruising on herself? Any evidence that she's burnt herself? Anything like this? This can be a serious danger sign. The next thing, which is relevant to this as well, is does she tell you very quickly that she's been sexually or physically abused as a child? This is why would you do this? Well, you do this because it turbocharges the bond. If you tell someone that you've been sexually or physically abused, it creates a trauma bond. The person feels you are incredibly honest and you're sharing something with me. The person feels a great deal of sympathy for you, and therefore it bonds you together. A man in particular will feel he wants to rescue you and help you, so it brings that out, and he will feel honoured that you have told him. Again, does she say, I've only told you this? This is not something I've ever told anybody else. Does she say that? Well, that is a sign that something is going wrong. Equally, does she say things like, this relationship is unique, this relationship is special, I've never felt such a special relationship, I've never felt such a special bond? Well, of course, this is what she will say to everybody, but it turbocharges the bond. And if it's sexual abuse, then of course immediately people, a man in particular, will listen and be interested. So it's a very, very useful thing to do, and it will turbocharge the bond. It will even make you associate her with being sexually aroused, perhaps, and so it turbocharges the bond and makes you very, very close very, very quickly. Now, of course, it's a major red flag, because in reality, people that have actually been sexually or physically abused tend to be very ashamed of it. They tend not to want to talk about it, and they tend to only tell a person about it if they know them really, really well indeed. So if she's telling you something like this fairly quickly into the relationship about her abusive childhood or whatever, this is a very, very clear danger sign. The next issue is, and this is a very important one, does she have a long-term close female friend? Because that's what normal women have. Normal women are very pro-social compared to men. They tend to have friends, and they tend to stick with those friends. So men are more likely to change their friends in relation to the circumstances that they're in. Women will often have a very long-term, close friend that they've known since school. Does she have that friend? And if she doesn't, that's a very bad sign. In particular, if she says, oh, most of my friends are men. I don't really have many female friends. I don't like the drama. I don't really get on with women. That's a very clear sign that she of borderline personality, because her friendships, what will happen is her friendships will be very similar to her sexual relationships. They will be intense and they will be short lived. And so, of course, it will be the same with women. And so she will just go through all these different female friends and not stick with them for very long, because inevitably there'll be a fight and an argument and things will, and she'll de-idealise them, and probably her female friend will be like her, will be a borderline, and so she'll be de-idealised, and then they will stop being friends. And also, in general, women are more socially perceptive than men, and they will see through someone like a borderline. Her purpose, of course, is to mate poach, is to steal other women's mates, other women's men, and to manipulate people, including other women. And women will notice this much better, and so they will stop being this person's friend. And so then you'll see her cycle through friendship groups. She'll have a friendship group, then another friendship group, but she won't have been in it for very long, if indeed she has any female friends at all. So not having many female friends and not having a long-term female best friend is a sign of a borderline, because her purpose is not, in evolutionary terms, is not to have women around and deal with women. Her purpose is to find a high-status man and get her claws into him and love-bomb him and live off him, essentially. So the best friend. I've looked at the abuse. Does she then talk, because often she'll be oddly honest, does she refer to any history of mental illness in the family? There is a strong genetic component to borderline personality disorder, and it's related to mental illness. So is there any history of mental illness or serious conflict in the family? These, and she'll tell you this quite early on as well. So these things taken together imply and allow you to see at a very early stage that you're dealing with a borderline, who is not going to be loyal to you, who is going to have affairs, who is going to do all kinds of negative, who is going to rip you apart and make you feel worthless, but it will be a problem because you'll be addicted to her by then, and so you might stay in the relationship. So and be abused, essentially. I don't need to go into detail here because I want to look at the superficial signs. And these are the superficial signs. So if you're young and starting dating, I would be very aware of those signs. And you may feel, oh, well, this person is the exception. This person is the exception. And she'll probably say that as well. Oh, well, yeah, in general, but people that don't have a female friend are crazy, but I'm the exception. There is never an exception. You are not an exception, and she is not an exception. So bear that in mind. I hope this has been of interest. I will see you soon, and tally-ho, and goodbye.
Are you ready for the future of the West?